This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
WEEI Afternoons back here at the 2025 NFL Draft Day 2. It's Friday. It's a little chilly. There's a little rain in the air, but we're not softy. Old softy, old man. We're not going to let that ruin our buzz.
Dude, there's people here calling me out.
How
soft I am.
Oh, yeah. Paul from Buffalo Wild Wings, who is a native
Boston
New
native.
Englander.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Calling Ted Johnson out for being chilly, but if you're a Patriots fan, I believe you should be warm inside because Will Campbell, you just heard from him. You've seen the highlights. Okay, you've also heard the criticism. He might have short arms and a short wingspan.
He has short arms.
That's true. He does. He does. But if you're not excited that you filled that left tackle spot, if you're not excited with everything you saw and heard from him in the last 24 hours, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't like – I'm going to take Fitzy on right now because I saw Nick Fitzy Stevens as part of the Christian Arcand all-night draft show. I heard some things. I saw some things. And I, quite frankly, didn't care for it.
Oh.
Fitzy, you're man of the people. You're the king of the Pats fans. And you're supposed to stand on that wall. And I didn't care for the lack of excitement or appreciation for Will Campbell. And I'll be honest. I'm starting there. 617-779-7937. I want everybody reacting.
I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I want everybody reacting. If you like the pick, that's great. If you don't, you're the person I want to talk to almost even more why you don't like it.
Okay.
And that's Fitzy. Because I boiled it down to this, Fitzy.
Yeah.
So even if they took a guard at four, and let's just say everybody believes he can be a really good guard. Whatever happens at tackle for a year or two, he can be a really good guard. He's going to be Logan Mankins. He'll be all pro, go to the Pro Bowl.
Guards win Super Bowls, yes.
Sure. But what else were you going to take? Because if you were going to take best player available, you were going to take a running back, which would draw criticism. You were going to take a tight end, which would draw criticism. Hell, if you call Travis Hunter a cornerback, he went too high for a cornerback to go. He went too high for a wide receiver to go. So no matter who you took at number four in the 2025 NFL draft, you were probably going to take a player that people were like, oh, is it worth it? Is that good value at four? You filled your biggest need with a tackle. They believe he's a tackle to start. You filled your biggest need with a tackle who the lowest I saw him on big boards was like 11, 12. Oh, so you took him seven spots too early to fill the biggest need on your team, and then he has the perfect leadership and mentality to be the centerpiece of your offense. So, Fitzy, why were you not happy last night?
There was an anticlimactic nature to the draft pick because we knew about it for so long. I told you guys at the end of the show last night when we crossed over that to me it felt like the Christmas gift that you found in the closet in early November and then had to pretend to be surprised when you got it for Christmas. Like, man, I wish I hadn't seen that closet. Like, I wish there was just as a fan of theater, of spectacle, the draft, I wish there was an element of surprise or a little more drama to it. That's just that. And we had the same thing happen last year, which is why I got more excited for days two and three last year, and I'm more excited for days two and three this year as well. This is just like an instantaneous, like, immediacy gratification type of element, Ted. That's a superficial layer. On the grander layer, Andy, I was hoping with a pick as high as pick number four, it would not come with the question marks that Will Campbell comes with on the field, not off the field. As you'll hear later on in my three-point stance in the 3 o'clock hour, I am pivoting away from the disappointment of the Will Campbell draft selection and the lack of hype and hoopla leading up to it, and whether or not Mike Vrabel got out over his dynamics and personality of Will Campbell's skis and loved the nature of the player more than maybe the physical abilities on field of Will Campbell. I am pivoting towards, I hope this guy is good. And listen, if he can play half as good as he soundbites or speaks to people, then we're going to end up with a dog. But I just can't synthesize the excitement that you have. And I'm surprised that you're even getting your tail feathers all in a ruffle right now, considering the fact that you get your miniature victory lap because this is the pick you called. And they took your guy. So, you know, just be happy with that for the moment, all right?
I am. See, this is a weird spot for me. I feel like I'm happier than a lot of members of Patriot Nation, and that's not my usual feeling. You guys,
well, you're happy because this is the guy you've wanted all along, and they got the guy you wanted all along.
And I think he's really good. You know, this is a guy that when he went to LSU, do you know what number prospect he was in college football? Not tackle. What number prospect he was
going into LSU?
Going at
1,293.
Four. He was the fourth best overall prospect in the country.
All positions.
Any position.
Damn.
Going to LSU.
Yeah.
And now,
well, he'll tell you, he got an offer at 14 years old.
Yeah, because he's a big, athletic, unique, bodied person who fills the biggest need. That's one thing we won't argue about, right? He fills the biggest need on the team, at least for a year.
No question.
This year.
No doubt.
Because even though your guy Vrabel tried to say, well, you know, he's going to compete like they all. No. He's your starting left tackle. Mm-hmm. He's not competing. You took him fourth overall. When they play whoever the hell they play on September, whatever the hell the first game of the season is, it will say left tackle Will Campbell, right? That's what's going to be announced. So you filled a left tackle with a guy who has been, since 14 years old, he's been on this track, this trajectory towards NFL starting left tackle. He was recruited by Alabama, LSU, all those places. He goes to LSU. He's great there. He's an All-American there. Starts for 3 years. 3 years in the SEC, where no one talked about his arms until they measured his arms. No one cared about his arms until they measured his arms.
Oh, they did. They called him out when he was younger.
Yeah, because they measured him to bring him to college.
To college,
the young
right. Right.
It's the people. I guess that's my point, Fitzy and Ted, is it's the people deciding whether they want him who wonder how good he is. I haven't heard anybody who had him. Four-year starter in high school, three-year starter at LSU. No one who had him and actually had him in the lineup playing football had a single problem with anything he did.
To be fair, the high school, college does not compare to the pros. And so in things that at those lower levels, you can get away with certain physical deficiencies that honestly matter in the NFL. So I think they're not apples to apples is my point. And I wonder, you know, Fitzy, just this, it sounds like you're more disappointed just kind of about the draft events. Like, you know, that you weren't entertained by that pick. And you're almost holding it against Will Campbell, and that's what's going into your opinion.
That's part of the calculus, Ted, 100%.
Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, Andy and I were in the crowd. It was awesome just to be in that mass of humanity last night when the Patriots selected Will Campbell. And I just remember my instant feeling was like, but I'm still happy about the pick. And it was because it was such an obvious pick, and we all kind of knew it, and so there was no intrigue to it. But then you start to think about what Andy just said. It's like, finally, we have at least I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I think my baseline for Will Campbell is he's going to be a serviceable left tackle for this team. He's going to be an upgrade of a left tackle for this year than anything that we have. So that makes me happy. That I'm happy about that.
We're happy with serviceable? I'm sorry, Ted, but really?
For this first year and comparatively to what they've had?
Yeah.
You're damn right I am. And so, again, in my three-point stance yesterday, I said, look, if Will Campbell buys you time, if all of a sudden, if next year or 2 years from now we go, you know what, Will Campbell's probably better for a guard, then you can kind of start planning for that next move at left tackle in the, you know, while he's being serviceable or hopefully above average left tackle in this league. And so I think that's kind of a lot of the emotions. My feeling is some people felt one way about it before the draft. And if you haven't heard the audio in his comments about just being drafted to the Patriots, what football means to him after he was selected at number four, if you don't have a different opinion, I don't know what to do with you, because if he hasn't won you over with just his words, I mean, I feel differently about the kid today than I did yesterday just based off of his interviews after the draft.
And I will say, Fitzy, I know you and others, I listened to Jones and Keefe, and I think they had a little trepidation there. It's like, are we putting more stock in the words and the makeup and the off-field stuff than the on-field stuff? And if so, it'll probably be regrettable. If they don't think he's a really talented left tackle or just offensive lineman and they put too much stock in the off-the-field stuff, this might set a bad tone. You said yesterday, Ted, the first draft for head coaches sets tones.
Yep.
If this doesn't work, Mike Vrabel, especially with the story, Fitzy, from Pete Thamel, that last week they went to Louisiana and Vrabel brought his pad with
him. Yeah, that was interesting.
And Will Campbell knocked him on his
catuchus. Yeah, we got to talk about that.
And he needed to feel how he hits. That will be a story that is mocked if Will Campbell isn't good.
Right.
That will be absolutely mocked in 100%,
Andy.
Well, 4 years.
We got to, real quick, Fitz, we got to flush that out because yesterday we were talking about they knew Will Campbell was their guy 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And they had conviction in him and they still. And then you hear, wait, he was out. Why were they putting him through a workout last week as if they weren't sure on him? So I'm a little bit cloudy on that issue.
And the flip side, Fitzy, is also that Will Campbell said he told the Patriots, I think he said week five of the college season.
I'm literally looking right now. Like, Elliot Wolf came to my practice whenever I was, probably week five of the season, and I told him this is where I wanted to be. I told him and our area scout, Alex Brooks, that I wanted to be a Patriot.
Wow.
I love that. I love that because I actually, Ted, don't believe that they – I believe they wanted him all along for a long period of time, and maybe they finalized it or just really checked back and crossed the T and dotted the I and really made sure. But I think this was a marriage made over months and months where they were – and that's I love that idea. And I get what you're saying, Fitzy. We did that as well in the media. We talked about Will Campbell, especially – Fitzy, you and I on Six Rings probably in September or October started talking Will Campbell, Patriots, perfect draft pick.
I was already tired of hearing about him by Thanksgiving.
And your comparison to you saw your Christmas gift a few months early and then weren't as excited on Christmas when you opened it, the only thing I would say is if you really wanted that bike, well, guess what? I think it's still going to be a lot of fun to ride that bike. Get out on the mountain, go fast, up and jump some things, go out with your friends in the streets and go to the convenience store. You're going to love the hell out of that bike you got under the Christmas tree.
So. I know, but the thing is, I got an 18 speed and I live in the mountains. I'm not sure if it's going to be able to handle the terrain.
The negativity in this town stinks and it sucks and it all
holy
comes from
Patino. Look, Ted, I've had this question on my mind ever since they made the selection last night and I've been dying to ask you. So the big thing is this crossover, right? The jump. So he could handle a lot of obviously he handled the talent, the many people that are now getting paid a lot of money to rush the passer and create defensive line chaos in the NFL, right?
Yep.
He did a great job in the SEC, which people continue to say, wow, it's like the NFC South, sort of. When people talk about just the matter of the couple inches and a few things that they see becoming an issue at the pro level, how big is that ability to dominate at a college, but then when you have that ability to be a pro, get called into question, is that valid? Like, are we underestimating that?
No, yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, if I understand your question – I played with great collegiate players that they got to the pros, you never heard from them again, right? For different reasons, but, you know, a lot of times it's because they had, you know, they were so good in certain areas in their game that they could get away with it and exploit players in college. But in the pros, guys don't have many weaknesses. And so if you're not a fully formed kind of player, You will get, exposed. So, again, it's kind of like what is the best predictor of the future is to look back in the past. And in the past, guys with his measurables, I'm sorry, have not had success at left tackle. And it's not an opinion. It's a fact. So, Fitzy, your skepticism, even though Andy will crap on you all day for it, is still valid based on the history of the NFL. And there's so much data that would tell you guys built like him don't have success in the NFL. So that's going to be the maddening thing until we actually see him play, put on pads, sees him playing some games. There's going to be question marks about this kid, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I think I am more accepting of some of the classic measurables have been devalued more and more in the modern NFL. Like a guy like Elvis Dumervil or some of the undersized pass rushers that were too short and too not long enough in their own right, the opposite side of this conversation that we're having, or quarterbacks that are allowed to shrink, like Kyler Murray. I mean, Doug Flutie had to go to the CFL, right?
Right.
Like, it's a different time.
Yeah, there's guys that'll bust the mist. Drew Brees,
But you're right with the traits thing, and we're going to get into Shedeur Sanders and him falling out of the first round, and I think he's falling for a variety of reasons, which we'll get into that discussion. But some of it is people can say, yeah, his traits are good in college. They're not good enough. His arm strength is this. His ability to is not good enough to transition to the next level. That doesn't mean he wasn't a good college quarterback.
Right.
Tim Tebow might be the greatest college player
that's
ever.
That's a great example.
And did nothing in the NFL.
Correct.
Right?
So, and how long were his arms? Too long, actually.
We're not fixating just on arm length.
I do want to bring this up, though, because I saw this starting to make the rounds last night as well. And there were people that were both defending it and saying how silly it is that we talk about some of these ever so slight measurables, and then some saying, well, different day and age. So let me throw it your way, Ted. Will Campbell's measurables are, as I've pointed out many times, basically the same as Zach Martin, great guard of the modern era of the NFL. He's also about the same size as Bruce Armstrong, who was great for the Patriots at tackle, but that was a while ago. And has the game changed enough since Bruce Armstrong's time that having that size and Bruce Armstrong's demeanor, measurables, et cetera, have those been passed by and no. You now need Joe Alt?
No, I still think it's the same. I still think the specs for at left tackle, the requirements to play left tackle are the same today as they were 30 years ago. I do. The edge rusher, I mean, I think they're – I mean, you see – players on defense, you don't see middle linebackers maybe as big as me anymore. Like, it's a faster
speed,
game.
Yep, yep.
But edge rushers are still big, strong, long arm, freakish athletes.
Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Look at Myles Garrett.
Yeah, so I think you still need big-ass, long-armed, you know, big-bodied left tackles to be successful in this league. So, to answer your question, I'd say no. I still think the same requirements are important today as they were 30 years ago.
We have a loaded show here today, WEEI Afternoons, again at Buffalo Wild Wings, just across the street from Lambeau Field, where last night 200,000 people, and Ted and I
awesome.
Can attest, there was every bit 200,000 people.
It was a good time last night when we went.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was a great experience. We watched the Will Campbell pick from right in front of the stage.
Yep.
Ted was holding court with some Patriots fans that picked him out in the crowd. It was... I've never been to anything like that, anything like this. And I've never been to a huge NASCAR race or any of these massive, like, music festivals.
Was it overwhelming to you since you're not the biggest people person?
Oh, it was overwhelming. I mean, we went through the crowd in front of the stage. We went through the Lambeau.
The concourse.
We went down to the concourse.
Out onto the field.
There were Fitzy, like, I was a little overwhelmed. You know I don't like crowds and people. And there were people effing everywhere. But in the opposite end of that, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen because it wasn't even
It was a chill crowd, though.
It was a great crowd, and it was a football festival more than it was the draft.
Celebration of football.
Yeah, like the draft was happening on one end.
Yeah.
There were people in the stadium or on the other end of the stadium just enjoying a beer by the fire with football fans, talking football, another team.
And we'll talk about this throughout the show, but just the whole kind of the vibe that, and the experience we had last night is very unique because there's fans from all the different teams, and it's basically all I've been doing the last day and a half is – what'd you think about your team's pick? You know, a Dallas fan or a Green Bay Packers fan. And so it's all these fans of the NFL, you know, and there's no us against them. It's we're all here to have a good time. And so it makes for a really unique kind of experience.
So on the show today, we're going to have Joe Andruzzi at 3:30. He'll talk us about the transition that Will Campbell's going to have to make to an NFL offensive line. We'll talk to our buddy Mike Giardi later in the show. Not sure exactly what time because he will be covering the Will Campbell photo op down at Gillette Stadium today where he'll hold up his jersey. Robert Kraft will speak. Ted, I think, is probably happy that he has a blue suit on today, not a green Jets-colored
suit.
That,
bro.
So it's still double-breasted,
get you a tailor.
He still likes the double-breasted,
the
whole thing there. But so we have a loaded show, but we're going to talk to you, the caller, 617-779-7937. What do you think of the Will Campbell pick? Do you love it? Are you a little dubious like Fitzy and Ted seem to be? And what do you think the team needs to do the rest of the draft? Three more picks today. You got one in the second, two in the third round, as now they seemingly can target best player available. Just go wherever the board takes them. 617-779-7937, WEEI Afternoons at Lambeau Field, Buffalo Wild Wings, day two of the NFL draft. That's all up next. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.